us to stress and struggle with that 10%. So if you don't get anything else out of what I talk about today, just think about that. The fact that if you have more because you're doing the right things with what you got, you can do more for others. Not just necessarily a situation where you got more to do for yourself. You can do more for others if you have more. But if you have less because you're not doing what you should with what you got, you're going to do less for others. So with that, we'll go ahead and get started. Let's see. Anybody ever seen that person before? That's the person that normally shows up usually about the 25th, 26th of the month. When you still got the month left after your money's run out. And you see a lot of stuff going on there. Stress. Pay now. You know, that phone call from those creditors that's bothering you day in and day out. And that's what usually ends up causing stress in your life, stress in your marriage, stress in everything to do with you if you see that person showing up often. So we're going to go over some different concepts here. I hope everybody can see these things. The first one there, understanding money is the foundation of financial success. If you don't understand basic money principles, you will never have any. Simple as that. That's like, you know, going to work on your job and you never quite learn what your job is. What are the chances of you advancing past that? It's just not going to happen. We are unlikely to arrive at the mountaintop while taking a leisurely walk. I mean, you're not just going to go out and make things happen not having real directions. But we do that all the time. That's like trying to plan a trip to New York without a GPS or a map. You're not just going to run into it. It's not going to happen by accident. So financial success is no accident. You got to take charge of what's happening. You need to have a plan, and you need to have a goal, because everything in life is goal-driven. If you think about anything you've ever accomplished, it happened because you meant for it to happen. You planned for it to happen. You put together something to make things fall in place. It didn't just happen. So these are a few of the topics we want to talk about. What is financial success? 4 financial mistakes. 7 areas to free up money to save. Keys to make your money work better for you. Debt elimination. 4 steps to reaching your goals. Okay. Anybody here ever had a course in accounting? You might remember some of those things, the income statement and the balance sheet. And this is gonna let everybody know how to become wealthy. Would anybody like to know how to become wealthy? It's really quite simple. I mean, I'm going to show you 2 or 3 slides here. Now, the hard part comes if you actually do any of these things. So, but this is kind of how life is. Well, let me back up. I already kind of showed y'all a snapshot there. What's most people's most valuable asset? A house, right? So that goes up there in the asset little box right up there. What if I told y'all that that's not true? That the house is not their most valuable asset? Y'all probably want to get ready to throw me out of here, right? Because we grew up always knowing that we need to chase becoming a homeowner, right? And for me to say something like that, that's pretty off key. What if I told you that house is not an asset, but it should be over there with the liabilities? Okay? All right, that's where it starts. Knowing the difference between an asset and a liability. Now, let me give you the real definition. This is not Webster's, but this is the real definition. The definition of an asset is something that if you lose your job today, it will feed you. The definition of a liability is something if you lose your job, will eat you. Okay? So where does the house fall?
Liability.
Liability.
Ask for the
people over the past 2 or 3 years since we've been in this thing called a recession that have lost their houses because they lost their job. Therefore, they thought that house they had was an asset. It was really a liability. They couldn't pay the payments because, let's just face it, the bank owns more of the house than you do for a while. And those liabilities tend to eat at you if you don't have any real assets. And so we're gonna come back to that. Let's talk about the different categories of people, different classes. The poor. We'll start with the poor. If you're poor, you're just poor. Nothing wrong with it. It's just that's just where you are financially. But let's see how why you're there. Most people that are poor. I'm screaming loud enough. I probably don't need this. Most people that are poor, they may have a job not making too much money, or they depend on the government for their income. Okay? Paycheck or government assistance. That's their form of income. That's what comes into their lives as far as money goes. That money goes down into the expense category there. Taxes, food, clothing. Being red, they have fun. Oh, everybody have fun, regardless of whether they're rich, poor, or whatever. Okay, gotcha. No matter where they are, they're going to always still have fun. Pause. Okay. Okay, but yeah, they're going to always have fun. And nothing ever makes it down here into the asset area. I got it. See, you had it twisted there. I got it.
Okay.
All right. Now, so the money comes in, it goes to expenses, it goes out. Nothing ever makes it down to the asset area. Now, let's talk about the middle class people. Because they've got a career, a job, income in the form of a paycheck. They have the same expenses, taxes, food, clothes, fixed expenses. A little bit more fun, bigger fun, because they make more money. And since they think a house is an investment and an asset, they got a mortgage. They got a lot of consumer debt, credit cards, because they make a little bit more money. And nothing still makes it over to the asset area, goes out. Now, this is how the wealthy or the rich think. These are the things that they do. Income is derived from assets. Businesses, stocks, bonds, mutual funds, notes, investment properties, that's where the income comes from. It goes up to the income area there in the form of dividends, interest, rental profits, royalties, and it comes back down to the asset. It's a circle. So the money that they make is used to make more money instead of being expensed out and never to be seen again. So that's really what's going on. Anybody you see who is truly wealthy, well off, they're doing a lot of those things. They may not be doing all of them, but they're doing a lot of them. And if you are only an employee from an income point of view, think about it from this point of view. How are you paid? At the end of the year, what do you get to file your tax return? W-2, okay? That W-2, what it says is, whatever I make, I'm giving the government permission to take what they want and give me the rest. That's what a W-2 does. You don't have any kind of write-offs associated with W-2 income because it's just, you know, that's really two programs. There's a trust program and a no trust program. And what I mean by that? That means the trust program is, well, let me tell you about the no trust first. The no trust is what I just talked about, where the government don't trust you to pay your taxes.
So they take them from you. Now, the trust program is when you are in some type of business where just about everything you do can be a tax write-off. You pay your, you owe $10,000. You set that aside and you pay your $10,000. So you've got to have a lot of that stuff going on, some of that stuff going on. If you just, if it's just W-2, that's really hard to make a lot of good things happen from a financial point of view. Financial success. As you are a 25-year-old or so, as you start to make money, you should be saving money, investing money as you go. So if you want to retire at age 65, you've got a nice lump sum of money that you can now earn somewhere between 8 and 10% on your money in retirement. That's what allows you to get to a point to where you can retire. The reason why most people can't retire is because it's simple. They don't have enough money. People that work at, some of the older people that work at Walmart or what have you, they're not there because they want to be there because they like hanging out at Walmart. They're there because they got to be there. And they're there because for whatever reason, the income isn't coming in. So they got to find a way to, regardless to what's going on with them and their health and what have you, they still got to make it happen. So that's one of my motivations in life, too, is to not be in a situation when I do get to that point where my health may not allow me to continue to go, to be able to sit down. And that has to start today. This isn't something you can think about too long because time is steady going by. Four mistakes: lack of knowledge, lack of planning, dependence on others, and procrastination. Lack of knowledge. Anybody ever heard the term, what you don't know won't hurt you? It will kill you financially. It won't just hurt you. It will kill you. Lack of knowledge has serious effects, stressing our lives on a daily basis. Money is the leading cause of disagreements in marriages. Is that a surprise to anybody that's married? It is the leading cause. It's usually the only cause. I can't think of, you can just about get over most things, but when the money coming up short and we don't know how we're going to pay bills and all that creates a problem. 34% of Americans say they don't know how much money they need to retire. So the chances are they're not going to be able to retire. If you don't know, how can you get somewhere if you don't know where you're going? Lack of planning. Well, I want to retire one day. How much you need? I want my kids to go to college. Well, they're going to get a scholarship. That's what's going to happen, right? Okay. Let me tell you about the scholarship. Now, not saying that that's not going to happen. Okay, we've got two daughters. They're 24 and soon to be 22. Oldest graduated, went to Alabama, graduated. High school had 3.89 or something. The youngest had a higher. She had almost a 4.0 GPA. They got next to nothing in scholarships. It is. And it's disheartening for these kids, too, because we got a lot of kids going through school thinking that that's going to be the pot of gold at the end of the rainbow, that I did well, and therefore I'm going to get a scholarship. And then those things don't come, don't happen. Well, if that don't happen, then what? Either the parents are going to have to fork out a lot of money or find a way to get a student loan or something. But these things require planning. That's what I'm getting to. It's not just going to happen. Okay, this was a study. In 1959, Princeton University, 97% of the students had written goals and plans. 3% didn't have a plan. Looked at them 35 years later, the 3% were making more than the 97% put together. Just because they had a plan of where they wanted to go and what they wanted to do. So there's something to be said about this plan. Dependency on others. Belief that someone will always take care of you, be it the government or relatives. Okay? I got a news flash for everybody that don't know. The government is broke. Just in case you didn't know, I was looking at the news the other day, a couple days ago, and they said something about from a military point of view, they're going to cut the military budgets. I think it was $480 billion over the next 10 years, something like that. 70, 80 billion. Okay? Anybody know how many zeros in a billion? A lot. A lot of zeros. But the point is, if you kind of look at what's been happening as far as the government goes, there's no such thing as a safe haven for even jobs anymore. Okay? Think about that. Now, I do a lot of things. One of the things I do that's on my resume is government employee. I work for the government. I've been there 28 years. We had a situation about 4 months ago where my boss asked me to look at this little drill. If we cut the workforce by 10%, 20%, and 30%, what would that do to my organization? So I did it. We did the little thing, turned it back in. And he came back. He said, no, you made a mistake. You made a mistake. I need you to do this again. I need you to put some names by these numbers. All right? Think about it. These are, quote, good jobs, great jobs, the U.S. government. But and that was one of the hardest things I have had to do, was to actually put a person's name on a piece of paper that could potentially be laid off. And there was no rhyme or reason other than the fact that we don't have the money that we used to have. So when it comes down to it, you are the only person that's going to determine you and your family's financial future. We got to get away from thinking about it's the job I have, the type of job, the kind of job, how much money I make. All that plays into it. But it's more to it than just that. It has a lot to do with, well, where are you trying to go? What are you trying to do? Where do you want to be in 10 years, 15 years, 20 years? And if you don't have a plan, you're not going to get there. So that dependence on others, I just don't feel too good about that. Procrastination. Why do people procrastinate? Bunch of reasons. Fear, out of sight, out of mind, just lack of priorities. But every 5 years you wait to start saving money for your retirement, it cuts it in half. So if you're 25 years old, if you wait till you're 30 years old, you're going to have half of what you would have had when you started when you're 25, and you know, based on whatever year you're up. Now, these are some areas to free up money. Pay priorities in order, okay? We already know what the first priority is, your 10%, right? What's the second priority? Anybody know? That's right. And she said it's supposed to be self. Do we really pay ourselves second? Or do we pay the utility man or the rent man or the credit card man or whoever shows up? No, you got to pay yourself first. Because if you don't, it's not going to be anything left when you finish paying everybody else. And I know some of you may be thinking, that's kind of backwards thinking, because if it's nothing left, then I got a problem on the end. No, you're going to really have a problem on the end if you don't pay yourself first. So that's a mindset. Just lifestyle. Live on less than you make. Well, how do you live above what you make? Any thoughts on that? Plastic. That's it. That's how you live above what you make. A lot of people use credit cards as a second form of income. It's like every month, I'm going to swipe for $1,000. You know, I need extra $1,000, so I swipe for $1,000. Work hard, buy used. I mean, you don't have to buy everything new. That's a lot of good deals when you buy used, especially if you know what you're doing, you know. And credit traps, we'll come to some of those in a minute. And stay out of low-interest savings. We'll talk about that, too. Okay. Cash flow and budget. Okay. Now, I didn't say this. It was in Luke, though. So, suppose one of you went to build a tower. Will he not first sit down and estimate the cost to see if he has enough money to complete it? For if he lays the foundation and is not able to finish it, everyone who sees it will ridicule him. This fellow began to build and was not able to finish. You got a plan. You got a budget. Things don't just happen. Simple plan. Each week, you and your spouse get so much cash. When you spend that money, it's done. That's a simple plan. No credit cards. Okay? Most people don't follow that simple plan anymore because most people don't use cash anymore. And if you're using plastic, it's just as easy to grab for the credit card as it is to grab for the debit card. So then you're on that roller coaster. Now, emergency fund. Everybody needs one of those. What is it used for? It's used for emergencies, medical expenses, unemployment, loss of jobs. What is it not used for? You can see the different things we use it for there. And home repairs, that's a biggie. What if you have a roof leak? You got to fix that. But if you didn't have any money set aside for that, you got to go in debt to get it fixed because you got to get it fixed. What if your transmission goes out in your car? See, these are things that happen to everybody. But the people that plan for it say, oh, that $1,000 I was sitting over there, I'm glad I set it over there. And they take it and do what they need to do with it. But the people that don't set any money aside say, oh, woe is me. Why does bad stuff always happen to me? Life is terrible. You know, no, stuff happens to everybody. It's how you react to those things happening. How you plan for those things happening, because they're going to happen. 3 to 6 months of income, that's how much should be saved. That's what the experts say. And if you don't do that, you're going to always be going to debt. You're going to always be robbing your 401k plan, doing those loans and things to make things happen. A plan to get out of debt. 43% spend more than they earn through the plastic we were talking about. 2% of homes are paid for. And that's kind of strange because I was looking at a survey not too long ago that talked about home ownership and houses being paid for. In 1929, 98% of the houses were paid for. 1962, 98% weren't. Now, nobody's old enough here to remember 1929, but does that number stick out of anybody's mind? What happened that year? The Great Depression. And it would have been greater if we would have had all this debt floating around like it is now. It was a Great Depression, and only 2% of the houses weren't paid for. 75% disposable income, paying debts was 65%. Now it's 95%. 1 in 45 filed bankruptcy in 2009. And 46% have less than $10,000 saved for retirement. So lots of stuff going on. Let's look at some of these numbers. 1990, this is money that was on that was put on credit cards. $216 billion in 99. It would come down here to 2004, $643 billion. Anybody got any guesses? What do you think it was last year? Was it higher or lower? Well, I'm sure it was higher. Numbers haven't been calculated yet. They're still trying to figure it out. Now, here we are, second week in January, they're still figuring it out. But in 2010, it was $886 billion. So this little graphic over here to the side, if you borrowed $3,000 on a credit card and had a 19% interest rate, and oh, by the way, that's still the average rate. It's not that 2 or 3 or 4% teaser rate that they normally give you. After that, for a couple of months, it goes back up, and then some people still got 25% interest rates. Average is about 19%. You pay $60 a month on that $3,000, and you pay a total of $14,000 in interest on just $3,000, and it will take you 39 years to pay it off, just making a minimum payment. That should be against the law, shouldn't it? All right. Best way to eliminate debt. Establish a plan to get out of debt. Stop borrowing. I heard a saying once that said, when you find yourself in a hole, stop digging. You're only going deeper. term credit cards and no car payments. Let me show you what car payments do for you. I put this together to kind of depict what normally happens is, and I call it the car roller coaster. What happens is when people's self-esteem is low and they're not doing too good, they start thinking, oh, you know what? Since my self-esteem is low, I saw this commercial. This lady, she had a convertible with the top down, and her hair was blowing in the wind, and she had no cares in the world. I'm going to go out and buy me a new car. That's what I'm going to do. So they go out, they buy a car. All right? Then about 5 years later, you know, as the self-esteem goes up, as the newness wears off the car, it goes down. It goes back up. Then, you know, 5 more years, and that just continues. And I just ran this out for 20 years, because that happens normally about every 5 years max. Well, let me show you what that actually does to you. Say you're paying $400 a month, which is not that high anymore, you know. But just if it was a $400 a month payment, all right, there's a rule of money that says whatever you save and invest on a monthly basis at a 12% average rate of return over a 20-year period of time. The 20 years we ran out for those cars, over 20 years, all you have to do is add 3 zeros to that number, and that'll tell you how much money you would have. So what does that mean? That means after 20 years, you can have this, a car that might be worth $5,000, if you're lucky, or you have this. Big pile of money. Money comes from everywhere. $400, 3 zeros on it, that's $400,000. Just off of making one decision every 5 years to buy a new car at $400 a month. So that's powerful. That is really powerful. Because like I said at the beginning, money doesn't come with instructions. And usually, if people get a little raise or something, they figure they need to go and find a way to spend that raise because I deserve it. I deserve what I'm doing. Well, I don't think we deserve nothing. Myself personally, I don't even use that word. It's nothing that I think that I really deserve. I really don't. I got to get things in order and taken care of. And it's all right to treat yourself a little bit after you got the stuff going on that you need to have going on. But take care of the stuff you need to have going on first. Then you might be able to relax a little bit. Planning out of debt. It starts with determining where you are. Most people never get to a point to where they don't list what they got to see what they're working with. Therefore, they don't ever do anything. I think that's mostly out of fear. They don't want to know the answer. It might be worse than I thought it was. But you've got to take an inventory of your assets and your liabilities. That way you can determine where you want to go and how long it's going to take you to get there. Keep good records. Check payroll exemptions. Make sure everything is like you think it should be. And distinguish the difference between a want and a need. There's very few needs. Whole lot of wants. Formulate a plan and reach your goals. Revise spending, become an informed consumer, develop a system for paying your bills, evaluate your insurance needs, save for periodic investments and emergencies, and if necessary, consult an attorney or someone to draw up the appropriate wills and paperwork. But you need, those are things that you need. And be realistic in your expectations. I mean, if it took you 20 years to get to where you are, you ain't going to get out of it in 2 days. It's going to take a minute. Okay, right kind of protection. Now, this is called a theory of decreased responsibility. This is talking about insurance needs. Most don't have any idea what their needs are. That's why when people pass away due to old age or accident or illness, oftentimes we have to pass the hat to bury them because they didn't have things taken care of like they should have because they didn't know what they should have. Now, what this means is this blue line represents your need for insurance coverage. This yellow line represents your need for money. Now, when you got young kids, high debts, house mortgage and all, insurance coverage should be high. Insurance is basically renting money until you have money. If you don't have any money and something happens to you prematurely and you've got young kids and high responsibilities, that's when your insurance need is the highest. But over time here, you see where these lines cross. You get out here in the later years, your kids are grown, lower debt, mortgage paid off. That's when this need for money is greatest. You ask the average 65, 70-year-old person if they want $100,000 in cash or $100,000 in a life insurance policy, which one you think they want? They want the money. They need the money. But it's all based on needs. It's not based on just throwing a dart at a dartboard and saying, hey, you need $5,000. No, it's based on what your life is, what's going on with your life. Okay. Life insurance can provide cash for immediate needs, for things such as burial. And I come to another chart here that shows these kind of things. What it should not be used for is just a nest egg for retirement for a spouse or helping grandkids, someone to go to college. That ain't what it's designed for. It is designed to replace that person's income. So, for example, if somebody made $50,000 a year and they died prematurely, simple numbers here. If they had a $500,000 insurance policy and they could get a 10% return on $500,000 with that money invested, that money would throw off $50,000 in income forever. And that's an example of the things you look at in determining what needs are. It's not just to have a lump of money to spend or something like that. And a lot of times I talk to couples, and the men are real bad about this. They'll say, I don't think I need to have that much coverage because I don't need that money for her to go out and get a new husband and spend money doing frivolous things and all that. And I tell them all the same thing. If you don't have the insurance coverage and things that you need in place, she's guaranteed to go out and do exactly what you think she's going to go out and do. Guaranteed. So you better do what you need to do while you're here. Okay. Many people are underinsured, overpaying for protection, rely on group coverages, just like what you have at work. And these are some of the type of insurance coverages to stay away from. Anybody ever get insurance? They bought a house and they got insurance on it so that if they die while they have that mortgage, it would pay the mortgage off? Y'all heard that? Okay. That's mortgage insurance. That's not good. And I'll tell you why. Say if you buy a house for $100,000 and you pay on it and you paid it down to maybe $10,000. And say for that insurance coverage, when you first bought that house, you were paying $40 a month for it. When you owed $100,000, you were paying $40 a month. Now that you owe $10,000, you're still paying $40 a month. So the coverage is actually decreasing. They're not going to, if you die, they're not going to pay your beneficiaries $100,000. No, they're just going to pay them to pay that house off. Even if you were down to $1,000, you're still paying $40 a month. The way to cover that is in your overall insurance coverage and not in different separate pockets like a policy on a car and a policy on a sewing machine and a policy on a house. It's to put it all together in an overall plan. Another couple of things, the burial insurance, that's a good one. We see that a lot. We hear about that a lot. Very expensive, not worth much because of when you look at the basic needs, what insurance is used for, it is not just to bury somebody. What's going to happen to the family and their responsibilities after the burial? Because the burial insurance only paid for them to be put in the ground. Nothing happens after that. So, and if it's a young family, especially where you got young kids and all, and maybe it's a husband and wife, wife maybe don't work, husband died in a car accident or something like that, that family unit is destroyed. It's done. You got to now figure out how you're going to make it. As opposed to being in a nice environment where life is good, now you move to not only is my best friend gone, but now we don't know how we're going to eat. Now, that's serious. Let's look at savings. Never do the savings for the future until you have a foundation. All right? So I'm putting together a foundation, which is a plan to get out of debt, have the right kind of protection, an emergency fund so if things don't go well, to take care of that and understand your cash flow plan. And this is the reason why we're concerned about savings more than anything else. 30% have not put any money aside for retirement. 25% don't participate in their qualified plan, such as the 401k. And, you know, you're going to be living at least by 18 years or longer in retirement. So if you don't put any money going towards these things, chances of you being able to retire are slim and none. Also, if you have a 401k at your employer, a couple of things. One, you should put in at least as much as they match. If they match 5%, find a way to get to that point to where you're able to match 5%. Because that's 100% return on your money before it's ever even invested. Now, any money beyond that, you may want to look at an outside retirement plan, such as an individual retirement account, Roth IRA, things like that. Because those long-term, those type of plans outside will mean more to you because that's after-tax money. Your money that you put in your 401k, if your account grows to $600,000, about a third of that in your 401k is going to be taxed. So you're going to take a $200,000 hit. People don't think about that. That money is pre-tax, so therefore, when you get ready to take it out, a third of it is going to go to taxes. If you're in an after-tax plan, now you need to do that if they're matching you in the 401k, but an after-tax plan, such as a Roth IRA, is tax-free. Whatever's in that account is yours. That is one of only two things that the government allow you to make money on and you don't pay taxes on. That and buying a house and staying in the past 2 years and increase in value of a house. Those are the only two things they allow you to do. And that's something that you need to keep in mind. Also, another thing, anybody here work for an employer, had a 401k, and they left that job and moved to another job, and they still got money in that 401k that they left? If so, you might not want to do that. You might want to relook that because money left in a 401k from a previous employer, what happens is if that employer ever gets in any kind of trouble, any kind of financial distress, and the feds come in and seize their records, seize their financial assets, your 401k is a part of the company's financial assets. It's not yours. The only way to get it to completely be yours is to move it, roll it to an IRA outside of that company's plan. So I talk to a lot of people that don't realize that. It's not that the money is unsafe. It's just that it ain't yours until you roll it. As long as you were there and everything was good, fine. But unless you get it out of there, it's not a good thing. Top 10 ways to beat the clock on preparing for retirement. Know what your needs are going to be. We'll talk about that more in a minute here. Find out about Social Security benefits, which I don't have much confidence in that being there myself. Ask your employer to start a plan if they don't have one. Start now. Consider basic investment principles. And what is the goal? Okay, let's look at risk. Because a lot of people, they think about the term investment means risky. It means I'm going to lose my money. Well, you have to determine what your risk profile is. See, if you're worried about losing your money, that means you're investing in something that's too risky. If you've determined, we have a questionnaire that we go through, and that's just some of the questions that determine what your risk profile is, and based on your profile determines what you invest in. You don't just arbitrarily, is that rain? Whoa. You don't just arbitrarily invest in something that you don't understand. Now, how long will I be investing? Well, it's this thing called the Rule of 72 that was developed by a guy most people heard of named Albert Einstein. And he did a lot of stuff with science and all, but he did a lot of stuff with money. And what Rule 72 says is if you take the number 72 and divide whatever interest rate you're getting on your money, say in this case, 6% divided it, 6 into 12 goes 12 times. So whatever money you start with, it will double in that number of years. 6 into 72 goes 12 times. So in 12 years, that 10,000 would double to 20. That 20 would double to 40 in another 12 years. And then in another 12 to 80. 36 years, $80,000. Okay? Now, if you double to interest rate, you know, when I first saw this, I thought, if I double to interest rate, $80,000 here, that's easy, right? 160. Well, let's see what really happens. Now 12 goes into 72 six times, so every 6 years your money's doubling. In 6, you got 20, 12, you got 40, 18, 80, 24, 160, 30, 320, 36, 64, 640,000. You got 8 times as much money. That's the magic of compound interest, if you ever heard that term before. And the magic is that you think because you double, you're going to double, but in this case, you actually got 8 times as much. So, I'm not going to go through this. This will speed up here a little bit. Diversification. Now, that's what causes problems, too, is when you're putting all your eggs in one basket. You can't do that. If you do that, then you will struggle because anybody ever heard of a store that was called Color Tile that used to be in business years ago? Okay, Color Tile, they had their employees' retirement plan in all Color Tile stock. Color Tile went out of business. Guess what happened to their retirement plan? It went with them. So that's not a good idea. Diversification means spreading out your risk and your assets into different types of investments. And I'll go past this one. Dollar cost averages, what that pretty much says is if you are investing money on a monthly basis, well, I'll give you a quick example. Say if you're buying into a stock and it's $100 a share and you invest $100 a month, so you buy one share. Okay, month two, the stock price falls to $50 a share, but you're still investing your $100 a month. So you bought 2 shares. Now you got a total of 3 shares. Month 3, the price goes back up to $100 a share. So you buy 1 share for a total of 4 shares. 3 months at $100 a month, you've invested $300, but now you've got 4 shares. Your shares are worth $400. Everybody get that? So that's what dollar cost averaging does for you. Okay. A couple other retirement things here. IRAs, individual retirement accounts. That's an outside plan, outside of your employer. And the other thing I want to mention about that, too, is if you've got a 401k, even if you have a 401k at work, chances are that's not going to be enough money for you to retire. It's not. If you think about it, most people can live off of maybe 70% of what they make. And this is homework assignment for everybody. Find out, if you've got a 401k, find out how much your retirement benefits are in retirement. See if it's going to be 70%. Or see if it's going to be based on whether you put money into it to make it get bigger. You need to know those things. Because those things are going to come back and bite you if you don't. And that's the Roth IRA, and I got that read. Everyone should have one of those. Everyone should have one because, as I said earlier, that is one of the only 2 things that the government allow you to make money from without paying taxes. Nobody wants to pay taxes. Even if you go out and you buy a car for $500 and you sell it for $700, you're supposed to pay taxes on that $200 gain. Supposed to. A lot of people do it sometimes, but the government will actually allow you to not have to pay taxes on Roth IRA earnings, and that's the rollover thing I was talking about. If you got money in previous employment retirement plans, Don't leave it there. You're leaving yourself at risk. Roll it to a another retirement account. And these are different sectors of investments and some different mutual fund categories, because it's all based on risk. Every fund up here, from a balanced fund all the way down to a value fund, it's not something that you need to necessarily know what they are, but except for the fact that there's a risk associated with every type of fund. And that risk, based on your risk profile, is going to determine what you need to invest in. Now, real quick here, we talked about investing. What we look at investing in is mutual funds. What a mutual fund is, it's a professionally managed pot of money. You've got individual investors. Investor A may be investing $100 a month. Investor B maybe $200. Investor C $50 a month. And proportional to what you invest in that pool of money, you own. And as a full-time fund manager, his job is to lead the team to do the analysis to make sure they're investing in good companies. You know, the Walmarts, the General Electrics, the companies out there that's doing well. And he's got market analysts that work with him. One may be looking at the car industry, one telephones, one clothing. And as a collective effort, they go out and invest money into the economy. Now, since the stock market started, the average rate of return on mutual funds has been around 11, 12%. That's why I've been using 12% a lot, is because that's based on history. It's not based on something I just came up with. So those are the type of things you need to really invest in long term. Now, why wouldn't somebody go out and just invest in Walmart or take a bunch of money and invest in McDonald's? Well, back to what I was talking about earlier, you want to diversify. You don't want everything in one pot. I mean, even though McDonald's is doing very, very well now, so is Walmart, who knows what's around the corner? But if you've got, you've invested in 150 different companies at the same time, chances of all of them going belly up at the same time are slim and none. Now, I want to end with this before we go to the next phase here. We got a little exercise we're going to do real quick. You do have the power. You have the power. Nobody else. And you have the power to do the things you need to do. If not, it's going to be taken away. Anytime any situation arises and you show up and you don't have a plan, somebody else does. So either you operate off of your plan or you operate from theirs. Okay? Now, any questions? We got something else that's going to take about 5 or 10 minutes I want to go over and kind of clarify some of the things. And we're gonna give away some money here in a minute, too, if anybody wants some money. Anybody interested in money? All right. Okay. All right. Okay, we're gonna see how well everybody can follow instructions. See, Lakia's cheating already. Okay, if everybody would, open your book up to the last page. There's a pocket there that has, overlook the money that's in there, okay? And pull out the sheet that's in there. It looks like a house, your financial house. And we're going to do a little exercise real quick. Starting from the bottom. You see that the area that says income protection? This is the basis of a financial plan. It's like I said earlier, too. You know, if you have a situation where something happens to somebody early, prematurely, I mean, you know, you're not going to... If you're trying to save money for retirement today and you just got started 2 weeks ago, you're not going to have a lot of money built up, right? But you can pull out of this parking lot and get hit by a truck and not make it home. So what do you leave for your family to work with your replacement? And I know it may be strange to look at you have got to be replaced from a financial point of view. Somebody is dependent on you to provide financially. So to begin with, at the bottom here of this financial house is the foundation of it, which is income protection, income replacement, insurance, whatever you want to call it. So the first area there, we're gonna walk through real quick, and this is just customized to you and you only. Debt. Now, the acronym here, D-I-M-E, DIME, and what that stands for is debt, income, mortgage, and education. If you have consumer debt meaning credit cards, car loans, installment loans at a loan company, anything like that, write that in on that line. And this is just for your own use. This is not for anybody's use but yours. Just to let you know what's going on with you. The amount, yeah, the amount. Estimate in thousands. Okay? Now skip over the income and go to mortgage. Whatever the balance of your mortgage is. The balance. Right. Okay. Now, in the area of education, for every child you have, if you plan on that child to go to a four-year institution, that roughly costs $15,000 a year. Ask me how I know. So for each child, $15,000 a year, that's about $60,000 a year. That's not Harvard, but that's not Calhoun. That's somewhere in the middle. So for each child, put $60,000 in that education box if you're planning on funding a child's education. Yeah, I know. Mine did too. But this is the just-in-case situation, just in case. You just want to know this. Okay, now we've got the debt covered, we've got the mortgage covered, and we've got the education covered. We left off income. Now, if you were in a situation where your debt was paid off, your mortgage was paid off, and the education for the kids was taken care of, how much money would you need on a monthly basis to live and live comfortably? And I'm going to give you some numbers to put in there. If you need $1,000 a month, put in $104,000. If you need about $15,000 a month, this is for whatever you take to live. Whatever it takes you to still live, if everything was paid off. Right, if that spouse was gone, a month. If your house was paid for, your debt was paid for, and kids' college education was funded. In the income. Now there again, $1,000 a month, put in $104,000. $1,500 a month, $150,000. $2,000 a month, $210,000. $25 a month, $261,000. $3,000 a month, $314,000. Anybody need more than $3,000 a month? Okay.
This income that you're saying, mm-hmm. We don't have to pay a mortgage.
No. No. Your house is paid for. Your cars are paid for. Your child's education is paid for. So this is just for living expenses, your utilities, those fur coats you want to buy. No. Huh?
The $2,000
was $210,000. Okay, I was up to 30. That's for $2,000 a month. And I said $3,500 was $306,000. Now, have I covered everybody? Is there anybody that would need more than $3,500 a month if they needed to live from? Yeah, and that's for $2,500. Okay. Now, what you need to do with that is go all the way. Well, you see that dollar sign in the middle under above income replacement. Whatever those add up to is roughly how much life insurance you need. And I'm sure there's somebody saying, that's a big old number. That is a great big number. The reason why that's a great big number is because traditionally life insurance has been kind of like people buy gas. You know what I mean by that is, you know, give me $5 worth. Give me $10 worth. It has been based on need, and it's been the wrong kind that cost a whole lot of money, and people can't afford it. So that's why that number seems big. Roughly, the experts say you should have your insurance coverage should be about 10 times, 8 to 10 times whatever your salary is. You make $50,000 a year, you should have about $500,000. Now, what you should have and what you can afford may be different, but you need to know this first. It's a difference in not knowing and not having, as in knowing and for whatever reason, based on circumstances or economics, you know, I know what I need, but this is what I can afford. So I just wanted to do that real quick and just show you at the bottom, that's the foundation. Then next you move up to that tier two, tier one and tier two, those areas are to provide immediate security and build a strong foundation. That's what those are for. And that tier two, there's emergency fund. That's to have that 3 to 6 months of money made around in case something happens, laid off, what have you, or illness. Everybody needs a will. Everybody that's got anything that don't want people to fight over what you got later on if something happened to you, need a will. It happens every time. And don't think it won't happen to your family because it happens in every family. Yes, ma'am. Mm-hmm. Not necessarily. If you got a will, it will. Because a will lays out, even though everything we got is joint, if you die without a will, everybody else is open to come in and say that he owed me some money. Okay? They can make a claim on your estate. Now, that's a whole nother sermon there. But everybody's open. But if you've got a will that, first of all, begins with, I left everything I got to my wife or to my kids or what have you, then you go from there. So everybody still needs a will because a lot of other things talked about in wills other than just the straight out ownership. It's just to have everything in order. And you don't want to not have a will and have the state determine what happens to your stuff. All right, we are. Debt elimination plan and income diversification. Anybody got an idea what I mean by that? No, what I mean by that is I don't care who you are. I don't care how much money you make. Everybody needs a second form of income, if not a third. Everybody. Because whatever you're doing, if it goes bad, then what? You don't want to find yourself looking for a job after you just lost a job yesterday. If you want to change jobs, you start looking for a job, and you don't leave until you got the other one in your hand. But circumstances sometimes now don't provide you lead time. You know, companies laying off people left and right, companies closing left and right. You need something else to do. I don't care how big or small, something else that you know how to do. Because like I said, I work for the government. I work with a lot of people and have worked with a lot of people that their problem is they don't know how to do nothing else. They've never done anything else, so therefore they don't know how to do anything else. And if they ever got a notice, anybody remember back, this was like 15 years ago when there was a furlough and they sent all the government employees home for like a week? People were going crazy. That was a guy I knew in person. I saw him on the news. He was talking about, I don't know what I'm going to do. Just 1 week, you know, and thinking about killing himself and all kind of stuff, you know, it's just crazy. You need some other form of income so that if the blow of unemployment happens, it won't hurt so bad, you know, something to soften the blow. And that's tier two. Now, tier three, what that talks about is investing, long-term, kids' college education, Roth IRAs, retirement plans, all those things you need to do, your 401k. Now you move towards accelerating paying off a mortgage because, you know, people sometimes think, well, the main thing I need to do is if I just pay this house off, Where if you spend all your money on accelerating a mortgage and it takes you, it was a 30-year mortgage, and it takes you 10 years to pay it off instead of 30, Great, wonderful, good job. But now you've lost 10 years of investing. So now if you hit a bump in the road, you don't have no money. You got to go back in debt. So you should do both. If you're going to accelerate your mortgage, if you're going to pay an extra $200 a month on your mortgage, pay $100 a month there, start investing $100 a month. That way you get down the road, you've got both covered. And finally there, financial independence there at the end. So I wanted to go over that real quick to just kind of show people that's what you need. And the last thing I want to do is just flip through this book here and talk about a couple of things. The first page there, your retirement formula. Retirement should be a major concern no matter what stage of life you're in. Financial priorities may vary depending on your life, on your age, but every person has the same ultimate goal, a successful retirement. That's different for everybody, and it's up to you to determine what it is and what dollar amount. So you got to figure that out. Next page is helping you to figure that out. Where am I in life? Shows you, based on your age, the things you should be concerned about. That'll help you get there, whether you go from 20s to all the way up to 70s and all the different types of things that are happening to you. So take a look at that. We just kind of flipping through this, and this is kind of something for you to have and keep and be able to look at and work through. On the next page, page 4, like I was saying, most experts say in the upper left-hand corner, you'll need about 70% of what you make to maintain your current standard of living in retirement. And there it has a place for you to list your top 5 retirement objectives. What do you really want to do in retirement? You know, do you want to be able to travel? A lot of people want to travel, you know, see the world, see the relatives, you know, spend more time with family and friends, enjoy hobbies. Well, all of those things require money. I don't know. Matter of fact, most of the retired people I talk to say it costs me more now than it did when I was working because I'm having so much fun, you know. So you want to be able to get in on the fun. And on the next page to the right there, you see all the way down the right-hand side there, age 57, current savings, $125,000. Savings goal was $500,000, and they got 5 years to retirement. They need to be saving $1,200 a month. That's steep, isn't it? Look below there, 27-year-old. They haven't saved anything, but because they have the advantage of time, they only need to save $142 a month. So that's more doable. And the point here is start. No matter how old you are, that number is going to get bigger and bigger and bigger. You know, it's not like, wine gets older with age. This doesn't get any better with age. Waiting will make it worse. All right, next page there. How should I manage my retirement spending and income? Well, you still got to have a budget even when you retire because you don't want to go out of retirement because you spend all your money. Decide on which assets to use first. And what that means is this is looking at more from a tax point of view than anything else. You know, if you have some investments that have a higher tax rate than others, you may want to look at those to make sure you're not going to take too much of a tax hit based on what you're doing. And the last page here, what are my retirement savings options? Those are the ones that I've talked a lot about. There's a lot of them here. And bottom line is, you got to have them. You got to have some. You have to have money. And everybody probably got a piece of money stuck in their little folder there, right? Okay. Anybody get a $100 bill? Anybody get a $100 bill? Nobody got a $100 bill. Okay. Anybody get a $20 bill? Okay, how many people get a 20? How many got a 10? Anybody got a 10? What about a 5? Any ones? Okay. All right. There was an exercise associated with that, too. You see, everybody got different amounts of money, right? So, what? So what? Everybody starts in different places. But it's based on, it's kind of like the talents thing. It's based on what you do with yours. You know, if you got $5 and you say, oh, I'm going to keep my $5, that's where life starts and that's where it ends. But if you got $1 and you decide to do something that's going to make your $1 turn into more dollars, that's where life begins from a financial point of view. And I just want everybody to kind of see that. You know, it doesn't matter. Everybody gets different. Everybody here has a different income. Everybody has a different outgo. Doesn't matter. It's based on what you do with what you got. And my lovely assistant is now passing out a little slip of paper. If you would, fill that out. If there's anything I talked about that piqued your interest, anything you'd like to know more about, or even if there's something, nothing that you want to know more about, and we're going to have a little drawing here, and we're going to give away some money and a couple other things. And so if you put your information on there, we'll be getting back in contact with you to talk about some of the things that you saw that piqued your interest. If not, and you just want to participate in the drawing, just put your name on it, and we'll do that also. Any questions from anybody while we're doing this? Because y'all were one of the quietest groups I ever talked to. Mm-hmm. That's exactly what it is. That's setting up some type of automatic investment plan through a bank draft where if I got $500 in the bank and I'm investing $50 a month on the first of the month, I know that's happening. And the rest of my life, I'll plan it around the fact that I know my investment is taken care of. So, yeah. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Well, it depends on what it's for. All right, if it's for a kid to go to college, of course, you want to stay there after they get ready to go to college. If it's for retirement, see, I think what you're talking about, there's a difference in saving and investing. Savings is temporary. That's for, remember they used to have the passbook Christmas savings accounts and stuff like that? That's what a savings account is. Investing is long-term, at least 5 years or more, because, you know, this is money that you're setting aside to do something with for a specific purpose, not a put-and-take type situation where I put money in to save for kids' toys for Christmas, and when December rolls around, I go in and take that money out, and I start all over again. Not like that. It's you put money in on a consistent basis, and you're investing into a strategy. Whatever your risk profile says, that's what you're investing into, that particular strategy as far as what I'm trying to do. If I'm not too risky, you'll be looking at a mutual fund that doesn't have that much risk, something that you can live with. So we want to make sure you're investing and not saving. Any other questions? Yes, sir. Mm-hmm. Yeah, I know what you're talking about. No, and I have to answer that by saying I think good people do good things and bad people do bad things. The investment principles has not changed. It's just that if you take a fox and put him in the hen house, he's going to wreak havoc. I mean, and that's in every industry there is, you know. So I just try to pay attention to what's really going on. And try to act accordingly. Yeah. Yeah. But you're right. There's been some ruthless situations. Exactly. Yeah, when you look at the big picture, that's just a couple of idiots going awry. Yeah. You are. You really are. Because, yeah. because if you, like I said, you know, if you don't start doing something, see that's very few things that really worry me. One is getting old and not being able to do for myself. That scares me. I mean, you know, and I know money can't buy happiness and all that kind of stuff, but I think it will help. It'll help significantly if you can pay for some of the things that you can't do for yourself anymore. So that's why I just try to, you know, make things work best I can. So what are we doing? Got a couple of giveaways. Okay, we'll start with the littlest and build up to the biggest. We got a couple of books here, and if you master this information in this book, you'll know everything that I just talked about and then some. We got a couple of these books called How Money Works, Secrets to Financial Success, and the winner of the first one is me. Sebring Branch. Okay. I'll put him back in so he can't win anymore.
Well, he needs to lay out then.
That's right.
Well, it don't matter if I pull his name out. I just ignore it. Sonya Williams. That's Sonya Williams. Y'all ever had women to tell y'all what to do?
Yeah, they are used to.
A Steak and Shake gift card.
Okay.
Now, see, that's what half of may feel about for you to be tumbling through
walls. Can I do it now?
I ain't want you sorting through the walls.
All right. Tony Lyles. Miss Lyles. Drop it. Now we got lunch.
$25 gift card for Walmart.
I think it's 20. It's not 25. 20, okay. Terry Hibbs. All right. And that's it.
Yeah.
All right. Well, thank you, everybody, for coming out. And I hope everybody got something out of what we went over. And like I said at the beginning, this is something that I really enjoy doing. I think it's kind of my calling because I just want to make sure that, you know, people are exposed to all of the information they need to make the right decisions. So, and if you filled out information on your slip there, somebody will be calling you and maybe set up a time to talk to you about some of these things. Okay. Thank you.